Hi everyone, listening to Faith Family Worship Center's podcast number 158 for January 23rd, 2011. In this week's message, Pastor Archie will be talking about how important it is to understand the Bible and why we should understand the Word of God. In this week's message titled, Five Ways to Better Understand the Bible. Enjoy.
Stand up once more and we'll pray. Then we go to the Word of God. We will have a lot of scriptures this morning because we will talk about the Word of God. So should be in the PowerPoint. Okay, let's pray. Father, we just praise you again for this time where we could share your Word, the Word of Life, Lord. We pray, oh God, that you will just touch our hearts today. We pray, Lord, for revelation knowledge. We pray, oh God, that your word will just quicken our hearts because that's what your word is, alive, powerful, and quick, oh God, dividing asunder the soul from the spirit, even penetrating the very, the inner being of our hearts, oh God. So, Lord, I pray that you will help us, Lord. To share from your word today. And I pray, Lord, for your blessing upon your people. We pray especially for those who are sick, oh God. Pray for Brother Carding, who is still in the hospital. We pray, Lord, for complete healing and recovery of him, oh God. We claim, oh God, that by your stripes he's healed. Again, Lord, we give you praise. We give you glory. Bless each one in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Okay, just two verses from the book of Psalms 119, and we will continue. Psalms 119, verse 25 says, I am your servant. Give me discernment that I may understand your statutes. And Psalms 119, verse 35, make your face shine on your servant and teach me your decrees. This morning, we will continue our series on spiritual disciplines that grow godliness. As I said before, all of us needs to grow into godliness. Amen? Amen. We want to be more godly because that is our desire, and that is God's plan for us. And last week, we talked about the discipline of worship, that there are three genuine characteristics of worship, and those are, it's a matter of the spirit, it's a matter of the heart, and also it's a matter of truth. We can worship God better when we know His Word. Amen? The more we know His Word, the more we know about Him, and the more we can love Him and obey Him. And of course, it also means that we have to be open before the Lord. As the Bible, that scripture that we read this morning, nothing is hidden from God. Everything is laid bare. Is that it? So you cannot hide anything from the Lord. You might as well be honest, be transparent with God. Amen. When you pray, when you worship Him. And of course, it's a matter of priority. Jesus said, but the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship Him. Now, this morning, I would like to share with you on the discipline of meditation. One lady said to her pastor, Pastor, I'm having difficulty having victory in my Christian life. And the pastor asked her, do you have a daily Bible study and quiet time with the Lord? She said, I have problem understanding the Bible. And is that your problem? That's a lot of our problems, isn't it? So this morning, I would like to speak on the subject, five ways to better understand the Bible or the Word of God. First of all, why should we or why we should understand the Word of God? There are several reasons why we should desire and we should seek to understand, study, and meditate upon the Word of God. Number one, because it's truth. Amen. Without the Word of God, you will be stumbling, groping in a spiritual darkness. Pilate asked the Lord Jesus Christ, "What is truth?" John 18, verse 38. In his priestly prayer in John chapter 17, verse 17 says, "Sanctify them by thy truth. Thy word is truth." The psalmist says, "I have chosen the way of truth. I've set my heart on your laws." Did you know that facts and knowledge may increase, may double and triple, but truth never changes? You know that? It never changes. Today we are producing countless books, newspapers, magazines, what else? iPads, emails, right? People are learning more and more and many things, and there is an explosion of knowledge more than ever before. Solomon said, "Of making many books, there is no end." Says here, right? Now, if we put a graph, and look at the knowledge of that we have learned in history, the facts and knowledge that we have learned from history. Somebody said that from the beginning of history up to 1845, if you put it in a graph, it would be as one install, right? But from 1845 to 1945, it would be as tall as 3 inches. But from 1945 to the present, it would be as tall as the Washington Monument. See, that's the explosion of knowledge that we have seen over the last century. And Daniel said, look into the future. He said in chapter 12, verse 4, Daniel said, "Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase." But with all this knowledge that we have, there are more crimes today, more broken homes, more mental illnesses, more drug abuse. And if you work in the hospital today, doctors are inventing diseases. You know what? That you have never heard 10 or 20 years ago. Right? For example, you know, you see a kid who is very active, and now doctors say they have attention deficit hyperactivity disorder. And they give them pills. Right? Why? Because we are learning facts and knowledge, but we are not learning the truth. The psalmist says, "Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven." Isaiah 40, verse 8 says, "The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever." There is only one source of truth, the unchanging and the eternal word of God. So if you don't know the word of God, you are in darkness. And you're stumbling, groping in the darkness. Secondly, because it's the source of joy and blessing. To know the truth is a great joy and blessing. Psalms 119 verse 44 says, the psalmist says, your decrees are the theme of my song. And that's going on today. I mean, songwriters are using the word of God to express the joy and the blessing of the Lord. The Apostle John said, and these things we write to you that your joy may be full. If you want real happiness and joy in your life, get into the Word of God. Amen. Amen. It's not only that, it's a source of blessing. Jesus said in Luke 11:28, he says, blessed are those who hear the Word of God and keep it. James 1:25, James says, but he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the word, this one will be blessed in what he does. Do you want to be blessed? Amen. Amen? Obey the word of God. You read and obey the word of God because the word of God, the Bible, is a blessing book. Thirdly, it's a source of victory. Psalms 119 verse 45 says, I will walk about in freedom, for I have sought out your precepts. Are you walking in freedom this morning? Or you're walking in bondage to fear, bondage to resentment, to bitterness, to lust, and other works of the flesh? Or can you say with confidence, thank God I am free because of the word of God? Because of the word of God in your life, you can be set free from the shackles and bondages of the devil. Jesus said to the Jews who believe in him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Amen. It's not enough that the truth will make of you. You have to know the truth. You have to apply the truth of God into your life. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 6 verse 17, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Now the word sword here is like a dagger that's hidden in the coat, which means the word of God must be hidden in your heart. Now the word logos is not, and the word is not logos, which is the general word of God, but it's rhema, R-H-E-M-A, which means a personal word of God for your life, for your situation. You know what? The first Adam fell in the garden because he doubted the word of God. But the last Adam, Jesus Christ, overcome the devil in the wilderness by the word of God. In the midst of hunger, in the midst of temptation by the devil, he was able to overcome the devil. And the Lord Jesus said to the devil, it is written 3 times. He quoted from the book of Deuteronomy. So the devil will find a weak place in your armor because you have not taken the whole armor of God in your life. Amen? But if you walk in victory and when you keep the word of God, there is tremendous power in the word of God, and the word of God will protect you from the wiles of Satan, from the fiery darts of the enemy. Amen? So there is victory in the word of God. Number four, it's a source of spiritual growth. Psalms 119 verse 32 says, I will run the course of your commandments, for you shall enlarge my heart. Is God enlarging your heart? Or is your heart shrinking? Are you growing in God's word? Amen? Or just stunted growth? Are you still in your spiritual diapers? There's no spiritual growth apart from the word of God. That's why Peter says, First Peter chapter 2, verse 2, as newborn babes desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow thereby. Amen. Then fifthly, the word of God is a source of power. The psalmist says, Psalms 119, verse 25 and 28, my soul clings to the dust. Revive me according to your word. Verse 28, my soul melts from heaviness. Strengthen me according to your word. He's saying here, Lord, I am in the dumps. I am discouraged. So God, revive me, strengthen me by your word. Have you experienced that? Amen. You're weak and discouraged. And pray to the Lord, Lord, I'm discouraged today. I need your help. Give me scripture from your word to encourage me and strengthen me. So you open your Bible and suddenly the scripture is a verse that just jump out of the page of the Bible and say, this is the word of God for me. And what happens? That will excite you and energize you. You know, one time, a few years ago, maybe what, 4, 5 years ago, when I was undergoing radiation treatment for small, early prostate cancer for 4 weeks. And the second week, I became so sick. And I don't know what's going on. I thought I was going to die. Those who have undergone chemotherapy or radiation therapy will experience, we will testify of this. But I said, Lord, I need a word from you. So I was discouraged, and I felt so very sick and felt weak. And it was a spring. I was reading the Psalms. And some verses from the Psalms 118 just spoke to my heart and gave me strength and great encouragement. So in Psalms 118, verse 5 to 7, it says here, in my anguish I cried to the Lord. That's where I am. In my anguish, I cried to the Lord, and he answered by setting me free. The Lord is with me. I will not be afraid. What can men do to me? The Lord is with me, and he is my helper. Then suddenly, I was reading through verse 17 and 18, just jump out. It says, I will not die, but live. I will proclaim what the Lord has done. The Lord has chastened me severely, but he has not given me over to death. And because of that, I just jump out. Jump out. Because the word of God became so real in my life. Amen. And you will experience that. When you're discouraged, you just go to the word of God and say, Lord, speak to me today. And the word of God will speak to you. That's why the Bible says the word of God is quick, alive, and powerful. It's a source of power. Not only that, it's a source of guidance. Psalms 119 verse 05 says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. Psalms 119 verse 130 says, the unfolding of your word gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. The word of God is a map that you could follow in your Christian life. And God's will is revealed in his word. You're wondering what the will of God in your life is? Well, the word of God reveals his will. For example, what are his will for us? This is the basic will of God for us. And Pastor Ed has already preached on this when he was here 3 weeks ago. Number one, it says here, the will of God is for you to be saved. That's basic. That's the start. That's kindergarten. That is grade one. Amen. If you are not saved today, you need to get saved. You need to be born again. Amen. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9 says, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness, but he's patient with you, not wanting that anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. God has been patient with us, and today his word is for us, is for you. If you have not been saved, to come to that place of repentance and say, Lord, I repent of my sins. I receive you into my heart as my Lord and Savior. Amen. Friday, I had a privilege of visiting a... are you friend, Sister Jeannie, or what? Yeah. Friend. It's a nurse. She's been working at University of Illinois Hospital as a nurse for years. And she has a cancer in the breast, spread to the brain, and to the liver, to the lungs. And her sister, Sister Felia, and Sister Dinya called me to come and visit, to go and visit her. So I visited her downtown, and I had the privilege of sharing the word of God to her and praying with her. And she gladly accepted the Lord Jesus Christ. She prayed the sinner's prayer. Amen. And I told her the Lord may not heal her physically, but the greatest need that she had is to be saved. Amen. Amen. So she was ready. So praise God for the privilege of sharing the word of God. That his will for us to be saved, that's basic. All right, secondly, God's will for us is to be sanctified. It is God's will that you should be sanctified, that you should avoid sexual immorality, that each of you should learn to control his own body in a way that is holy and honorable. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3 to 4. God's will for us is to live a clean and a pure life. Our bodies belong to the Lord. Doesn't belong to us anymore. That's why the Bible says, glorify God not only in your spirit, but in your body. Amen. Number three, or C, it's will for us to be spirit-filled. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk with wine, but which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 5, verse 18. What does it mean to be filled with the Holy Spirit? It means to be controlled by the Holy Spirit. You see, every believer, all of us, when we are saved, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit comes and becomes resident, indwells in us. But when you are filled with the Holy Spirit is not only a resident, but he is the president. Amen. In your life. Amen? One time, there were religious leaders talking about inviting someone to preach, an evangelist to preach. And the name D.L. Moody was mentioned. And some were against him. And they said that, you know, he's not educated as much. His grammar was not straight. So they were questioning about, some were questioning about his ability and whether he was filled with the Holy Spirit or not. And one said, but the Holy Spirit has him completely. So that's what happened. So he was filled with the Holy Spirit. He came and ministered and preached the evangelist and praised God for many souls that were saved. So are you filled with the Holy Spirit this morning? Does the Holy Spirit control your life, every part of your being? That's what being controlled by the Holy Spirit means. It's not only speaking in tongues. All right? It's Your whole being, not only your tongue, submitted to the Lord, controlled by the Holy Spirit, but every part of you. All right? Another will of the Lord for us is submitted to be to one another. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Ephesians 5:21. Wives, submit to your husbands as the Lord. Husbands, say yes. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. Wife says,
amen.
Amen. Mutual submission. All right? And of course, the Bible speaks more of submission to authorities. Submission to those leaders. Not only spiritual leaders, but our country leaders. Those in authority. So we don't have any right to criticize our president. Amen? You may not agree with his policies, but it's your duty, responsibility to pray for him. Amen. Amen. So be submitted towards one another. And another will of God for our lives that you see in the Word of God is what? You don't like this. To suffer for Christ. We want the blessing, but we don't want the suffering. Isn't it? What did Paul say? Yes, and all, lahat, who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. There's no exception. Now, if you are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God, and co-heirs with Christ. That's what we want. Oh, God, I want all the blessing. Well, I'm co-heir with Christ. But you are not finished with this verse. If indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. Romans 8, verse 17. So these are the basic will of God for our lives. And you find it in the Word of God. That's why it says here that the Word of God is for our guidance. Amen? Source of our guidance. And when you obey the will of God, don't you know? You know what? You will find that you will have the mind of Christ. Amen? Now, coming back to our topic, five ways to help you better understand the Word of God. Five ways. Number one, you must pray over the Word of God. In Psalms 119, verse 12 says, praise be to you, O Lord. Teach me your decrees. So do you pray before you read the Word of God? Lord, teach me your Word. The Holy Spirit is the author of the Bible, and is also the greatest teacher. I heard of a man who was trying to learn and study the Word of God. He had some difficulty, and he said, I wish Brother Harry is here to teach me the Word. And suddenly, the Holy Spirit speaks to his heart in a still small voice, and he said, I was the one who taught Harry. Why not ask me? So, the Holy Spirit is the great teacher, and Jesus said that in John 14, 26. Jesus said, but the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things, and will remind you of everything I have said unto you. John 16, 13, he said, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. Amen? Jesus said this before the New Testament was written. You know that? Before the whole New Testament was written, Jesus said to the disciples. And how did the disciples write the New Testament? They were guided by the Holy Spirit, isn't it? They were guided by the Holy Spirit. So back in Psalms 119, verse 18, the psalmist, "Open my eyes that I might see wonderful things in your law." So before you open up your Bible, pray that prayer. So when you go to the Word of God, you lay down all intellectual pride and ask the Lord to open your spiritual eyes to receive God's Word. And what happens when you pray and receive God's Word? First, Psalms 119 verse 36 says, "Turn my heart toward your statutes and not toward selfish gain." So when you do that, the Lord, the Holy Spirit, will steer your hearts to the Word of God. And secondly, it says here, your mind will be enlightened. Psalms 119 verse 73, "Give me understanding to learn your commands." So it steers your heart, and your understanding will be enlightened. Now, spiritual understanding is a gift from God. So begin your Bible study with sincere, earnest prayer, asking God to speak to your heart. Amen? So pray for the Word of God, over the Word of God, before you open up your Bible and meditate or read or study. Secondly, you must ponder the Word of God. What does ponder mean? To seriously meditate on the Word of God. Psalms 119, verse 15, "I meditate on your precepts and consider your ways." Verse 23, "Your servant will meditate on your decrees." Verse 97, "Oh, how I love your law. I meditate on it all day long." So the Word of God needs to get into you. And it takes certain commitment. Amen? To meditate on the Word of God. And most are not willing to pay the price. You know what we want to do? We ask the Lord to just zap our mind with the Word of God. Or we sleep with our Bible under our pillows, hoping that the Word of God will just get into our mind by osmosis. Huh? You need to be committed with your time to study and meditate on the Word of God. Paul said to his young associate Timothy, "Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that need not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Amen? Study so that God will approve you. If you want to be a teacher, you better study. All right? Have you ever tried to witness to somebody and after you testify, that's it? They ask you questions of the Bible and your mind become blank? Huh? All right, that's what it's saying. You need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. If you want to be a teacher, you study the Word of God. Amen. Psalms 119, verse 127. "Because I love your commands more than gold, more than pure gold." How many of you can say that? Lord, I desire your word more than gold or riches. The reason we don't know the Word of God is that we do not desire for it. We do not hunger for it. The psalmist says, 119 verse 147, "I rise before dawn and cry for help. I have put my hope in your word." What's talking about here? He gets up early before daybreak and he studied the word of God. You say, "Brother Archie, I don't have time."
Do you study the Word of God? Hey, folks, you will make time for everything that you want to do. All right? Right? You have time to see the Facebook? I was hearing the radio this morning that now the churches are going to the Facebook to socialize with their members. If you are too busy to study the Word of God, you are just too busy. It's time to cut out some of those unimportant things. Amen? Amen. Then Psalms 119, verse 148 says, "My eyes stay open through the watches of the night, that I may meditate on your promises." So what does it mean here? It means that we are to meditate on the Word of God early in the morning and late at night. So you need to ponder the Word of God. Get it in your mind. Get it in your heart. And when you read the Word of God, expect God to give you something. That's why it's important to use a journal where you could write something that the Lord speaks into you. Let God speak to you. Amen. Number three, you must practice the Word of God. Psalms 119, verse 167 to 168, the psalmist says, "I obey your statutes, for I love them greatly. I obey your precepts and your statutes, for all my ways are known to you." Obey the Word of God. It's not enough to understand it, but to obey it. Now, one of the most dangerous things that you can do is to read and study the Bible, but you're not willing to obey it. You know why? You know what happens? It hardens your heart. And when your heart is hardened, what happens? It leads to deception. Deception of your heart, deception of your mind. That's why James 1:22 says, "Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves." Do what it says. So if you merely read and listen and study the Word of God and have no intention to obey it, you are deceiving yourselves. You know that? Yeah. That's what the Bible says. I'm not saying it. So when God teaches you a truth, what do? Instant obedience, instant assimilation, instant application, and instant rejoicing and instant response to the Word of God. Now, the way to understand the part of the Bible that you don't understand is to obey the part of the Bible that you understand. Did you get that? All right? The way to understand the part of the Bible that you don't understand is to obey first that part of the Bible that you understand. Why should God give you more light if you don't live up to the light that you already have? Jesus said in John 14, verse 21, "Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he's the one who loves me." What is saying here? The measure of your love to God is a measure of your obedience to his word. "He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him." What's going here? Jesus said, the more you obey his word, the more he reveals himself to you. It says here, right? So if you obey the word of God, Jesus will manifest himself to you. Amen. So you must practice the word of God. Number four, you must proclaim the word of God. What God has given you, you must share it. God is not interested in you being a bucket. Right? He must fill, but he wants you to be a pipe through which God can flow. Amen? Of course, you know the difference between the Dead Sea and the what? And the Sea of Galilee, right? You have heard this illustration before. The Sea of Galilee is fresh. It's a lot of fish. Amen? A lot of life. Why? Because it's always flowing. Flowing out. But the Dead Sea is dead. That's why it's dead. No life is there. So much mineral. You can even float in the Dead Sea. Why? Because it's always taking in, but never gives out. What happens if you always take in without giving out? You'll be like a Dead Sea. You will stink. Huh? Overdose. So God does not give you that knowledge just to for your interest and edification, but God gives you knowledge in order that you may pass it to other people. Amen. Psalms 119 verse 13. With my lips I recount all the laws that come from your mouth. Psalms 119 verse 46. I will speak of your statutes before kings and will not be put to shame. Verse 172. May my tongue sing of your word, for all your commands are righteous. You know what? One of the secrets of knowledge of the Bible is sharing the Bible. The more the Bible you give away, the more the Word of God sticks to you, the more you remember it. So you take a passage of the Scripture and be prepared to share it to others. Amen? And the Word of God, it burns inside of you. So you take the Word of God, find someone you can teach. Amen? Find somebody that you ought to teach. Of course, starts with your kids. Starts with your children. You know, before Billy Graham became a great evangelist, you know what he practiced? I read his testimony at the back of his house. Nobody listening, he would preach to the birds. That's what he said. And I heard his testimony. He would preach to the birds. He was young. You practice on your kids. Practice on your husband. Amen. You practice on your wife. Howard Hendricks, I don't know if you've heard about him, but I read his book and helped him study the Bible. He's a great Bible teacher, educator. And a lot of the seminary pastors today graduated from Dallas Seminary, and they testified a great teacher, Dallas Theological Seminary. I read his testimony in his book. He said he came from a broken home, and how he came to know the Word of God was that he was playing marbles in the street of Philadelphia. And a man named Walter just came to him, invited him to Sunday school. And Walter just finished sixth grade education. So Walter got so excited, he got saved. He went to the Sunday school superintendent and said, I want to teach Sunday school. And the superintendent says, we don't have an opening for you. So Walter insisted, I want to teach Sunday school. So the superintendent said, well, go out and get a class. Whoever you will find is your class. So what he did was that he went out to the streets of Philadelphia. He found Howard Hendricks. Was playing marble. And he invited him to Sunday school. And Henrik says, I'm not interested. So what he did, he played marbles with him. So he said, out of the class, Walter picked up 13 boys from the streets, 13 boys. And out of the 13, nine came from broken homes. You know what? 11 of the 13 became full-time ministers. See that? So, lesson for all of us, find someone you can share the word of God. Amen? There are many people there who are hungry for the word of God. One man said to another man, how come you can teach your dog tricks, but I cannot teach my dog tricks? In the first place, you must know more than your dogs. Right? So, all you have to do is find someone whom you know more. Amen? And teach them the word of God. And you know what? When you teach them, you learn more than anybody else quickly. The world today is saturated with people who are ignorant of the word of God. You know that? Ignorant of the word of God. That's why many of them are living in darkness. And we are so privileged here. We come here Sunday after Sunday, going to cell groups, and our minds, our brains are filled with knowledge, ready to explode. It's not being used. Take the challenge, amen, of sharing, proclaiming the word of God so that people who are in darkness will see the light. Amen. So learn and begin to proclaim the word of God. So as you proclaim the word of God, then you will understand more the word of God. Then you will get the thrill of sharing the word of God. Then you will experience the joy of seeing lives transformed. Amen. Number five, you must personalize the word of God. Personal, apply it to your life. The word of God is not only for information, but for transformation. Amen. It can transform you from a sinner to a saint. Amen. It can transform you from a bench warmer to a worker. It can transform you from a lazy Christian to a servant of God. Amen, amen, Brother Tony. Hallelujah. So it can change you into being more and more and more like Christ. Amen. Amen. Become an effective minister, fruitful soul winner, to a faithful and productive servant of God. So, how do you personalize the word of God? Well, if you read the Bible, get hold of his promises, and claim that promise for your life, for yourself. Amen? If you are sick, not feeling well, go to the word of God and just look the promises on healing and say, Lord, I claim this verse, because you said in your word, by your stripes I am healed. Amen. Appropriate that for you. Personalize it. Amen. That's why so many promises. You need a job? Go to the word of God. Lord, I claim this verse. My God shall supply all of my needs, not my greed. All of my needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. You know, when my oldest daughter was going to college and we were just starting the ministry here, I said, Lord, if I go to the ministry, how can I support my daughter going to school? And you know what? I just obeyed the Lord. And I said, Brother Pastor Ray, he was one of our guests in our, when we started in the ministry. And he was challenging us to give a donation for an orphanage in the Philippines. There was an orphanage. And by faith, I said, Lord, I give this $1,000. So I gave it. You know, after a week, a friend of mine who works in the same nursing home, he said, Archie, I got to give you all my patients in the hospital. So all of his patients that need to be admitted, I took care of them in the hospital. And I counted after 1 year that through all these patients, I was paid $36,000. You know that? And not only that, my daughter was able to get a, well, look at that, study program or something. The last 2 years of her nursing school was free. It said it promised to work in the hospital for 2 years. And the tuition was $10,000, $12,000 at that time. See that? God will provide your needs. You personalize it. Amen. So the other wonderful thing as you read the Word of God is that you will find Jesus Christ in every book of the Bible. You will find the person the Bible is talking all about. That's why Psalms 119 verse 135 says, make your face shine upon your servant and teach me your decrees. So when you read the Word of God, read so that the face of Jesus will shine upon you. Let him become so real in your life, because Jesus Christ is the key to the Bible. Amen. So if you study the Word of God, look for the Lord Jesus Christ. He becomes alive to you. You see, all the Bible from Genesis to Revelation is all about Jesus Christ. Who is Jesus Christ? In Genesis, he's the seed of the woman. In Exodus, he's the Passover lamb. In Leviticus, he is our high priest. In Numbers, he's the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. He's the brazen serpent lifted upon a pole. In Deuteronomy, he's the prophet likened to Moses. He's the lawgiver. In Joshua, he's the captain of our salvation. In Judges, he's our judge and lawgiver. In Ruth, he's the kinsman redeemer. In 1 and 2 Samuel, he's our trusted prophet. In Kings and Chronicles, he's our reigning king. In Ezra, he is our faithful scribe, the rebuilder of the temple. In Nehemiah, he's the rebuilder of the broken wall. He's the rebuilder of broken lives today. Amen. Amen? Your lives may be shattered, but he can rebuild it for his glory. In Esther, he is Mordecai. He's the savior of the Jews. In Job, he's our day spring from on high and our living redeemer. You want more? Amen. Who is Jesus? In Psalms, he's our Lord, the good shepherd. In Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, he's our eternal wisdom. In the Song of Solomon, he's the lover and the bridegroom. In Isaiah, he's wonderful counselor, mighty God, everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. In Jeremiah, he's the righteous branch. In Lamentations, he's the weeping prophet. In Ezekiel, he is the restorer of the people of God. In Daniel, he's the fourth man in the fiery furnace. You remember this story? When Nebuchadnezzar tried to kill those three teenagers who said, King, we will not bow down to that statue that you made. And he threw them in the fiery furnace. And the Bible says that Nebuchadnezzar was surprised, because instead of three that burned, there was fourth man. And they were three, amen? And the fourth man was the Son of God. So is the fourth man the fire furnace? Who is Jesus Christ? You know, Hosea is the faithful husband, forever married to the backslider. In Joel, he's the baptizer with the Holy Spirit and fire. In Amos, he's our burden bearer. In Obadiah, he's the mighty to save. In Jonah, he's the great foreign missionary. In Micah, he's the messenger of beautiful feet. In Nahum, he's our avenger of God's elect. In Habakkuk, he's the evangelist crying, revive thy work in the midst of the year. In Zephaniah, he's the savior. In Haggai, he's the restorer of God's lost heritage. In Zechariah, he's the fountain opening the house of David for sin and uncleanness. In Malachi, he's the son of righteousness rising with healing in his wings. Amen. Who is in the New Testament? In Matthew, he's the Messiah. In Mark, he's the miracle worker. He's a suffering servant. In Luke, he's the son of man. In John, he's the son of God. In Acts, he's the Holy Spirit moving and working among men. He's the mighty power of the church. In Romans, he's the justifier. In 1 and 2 Corinthians, he's our sanctifier. In Galatians, he's the redeemer from the curse of the law. In Ephesians, he's the Christ of unsearchable riches. In Philippians, he's God who supplies all our needs. Colossians, he's the fullness of the Godhead bodily. In 1 and 2 Thessalonians, he's our soon coming him. 1 and 2 Timothy, he's our mediator between God and man. In Titus, he's the faithful pastor. In Philemon, he's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. He's the emancipator of all wayward slaves. With Jesus, in Hebrews, is the blood of the everlasting covenant. In James, he's the great physician, the Lord who heals our sicknesses. 2 Peter, he's the chief shepherd, appearing as a crown of unfailing glory. In 1st, 3rd, 2nd, and 3rd John, he's the everlasting love. In Jude, he's the Lord coming with 10,000 of his saints. In Revelation, he's the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Yeah. Amen. So all about him. So if you get serious about Bible study, if you value enough the truth of the Word of God, it will bring joy, it will bring victory, it will bring power, guidance, and truth in your life. Amen. So what do? You pray over it, you meditate on it, you practice it, proclaim it, and personalize it. May your face shine upon your servant and teach me your decrees. That's our prayer. Amen? Amen. So let's stand up and worship the Lord. Thank God for His word. And let the worship team come over here and let the Holy Spirit just move in your heart this morning.
And that was Pastor Archie on his sermon titled, Five Ways to Better Understand the Bible. If you would like to join us for our Sunday service, our address is 6535 Westbury Avenue in Chicago, Illinois. Our telephone number is 773-888-FFWC, that's 3392. And our website is ffwcchicago.com. And you can also email us at contactus@ffwcchicago.com. Until next time, take care and God bless. Bye.